revealing Nabhase unto the sky. Namaha, offering obeisances. Antaha, within. Bahi, and without. Atmane, unto the self. Namaha, offering obeisances. Punyaya, pious activities. Lokaya, for creation. Amushmai, beyond death. Bhurivarachase, the supreme effulgence. Translation. My dear Lord, by expanding your transcendental vibrations, you reveal the actual meaning of everything. You are the all-pervading sky, within and without, and you are the ultimate goal of pious activities executed both within this material world and beyond it. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances again and again unto you. You can say after me, my dear Lord, by expanding your transcendental vibrations, you reveal the actual meaning of everything. You are the all-pervading sky within and without. And you are the ultimate goal of pious activities executed both within this material world and beyond it. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances again and again unto you. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Vedic evidence is called Shabda Brahma. There are many things which are beyond the perception of our imperfect senses. Yet the authoritative evidence of sound vibration is perfect. The Vedas are known as Shabda Brahma because evidence taken from the Vedas constitutes the ultimate understanding. This is because Shabda Brahma or the Vedas represents the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, the real essence of Shabda Brahma is the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. By vibrating this transcendental sound, the meaning of everything, both material and spiritual, is revealed. This Hare Krishna is non-different from the personality of Godhead. The meaning of everything is received through the air, through sound vibration. The vibration may be material or spiritual, but without sound vibration, no one can understand the meaning of anything. In the Vedas it is said, Antar Bharishcha Tat Sarvam Vyava Narayana Stitaha. Narayan is all-pervading, and he exists both within and without. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 13:34, Yata Prakashayat Yekaha Kritsnam Lokam Imam Ravihi Kshetram Kshetri Tata Kritsnam Prakashayant Yati Bharata. O son of Bharat, as the sun alone illuminates all this universe, so does the living entity and the supersoul illuminate the entire body by consciousness. In other words, the consciousness of both the soul and supersoul is all-pervading. The limited consciousness of the living entity is pervading the entire material body, and the supreme consciousness of the Lord is pervading the entire universe. Because the soul is present within the body, consciousness pervades the entire body. Similarly, because the Supreme Soul, or Krishna, is present within this universe, everything is working in order. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. It's Bhagavad Gita 9:10. Lord Shiva is therefore praying to the personality of Godhead to be kind to us so that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we can understand everything in both the material and spiritual worlds. The word amushmai is significant in this regard because it indicates the best target one can aim for after attaining the higher planetary systems. Those who are engaged in fruitive activities, karmis, attain the higher planetary systems as a result of their past activities, and the jnanis who seek unification or a monistic merging with the effulgence of the Supreme Lord also attain their desired end. But in the ultimate issue, the devotees who desire to personally associate with the Lord are promoted to the Vaikuntha Lokas or Goloka Vrindavan. The Lord is described in Bhagavad Gita 10:12 as Pavitram Paramam, the Supreme Pure. This is also confirmed in this verse. Shukadev Goswami has stated that the cowherd boys who played with Lord Krishna were not ordinary living entities. Only after accumulating many pious activities in various births does one get the opportunity to personally associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since only the pure can reach him, he is the Supreme Pure. Artalingaya nabase namontar bahiratmane nama punyaya lokaya amushmai bhurivarchase. Lord Shiva says, my dear Lord, by expanding your transcendental vibrations, you reveal the actual meaning of everything. You are the all-pervading sky within and without, and you are the ultimate goal of pious activities executed both within this material world and beyond it. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances again and again unto you. In the purport, Prabhupada summarizes the essence of this verse as follows. Lord Shiva is therefore praying to the personality of Godhead to be kind to us so that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we can understand everything in both the material and spiritual worlds. So that is an extraordinary claim, and one that probably very few people in this room actually believe. Yet, of course, it is an offense not to believe this, to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna as exaggeration or imagination. Because sometimes these outrageous claims are made about the Hare Krishna mantra, and we say, these are outrageous claims. And we don't really believe them. But here it is said, like this, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we can understand everything in both the material and spiritual worlds. So this is our, we should, if we get out this morning, get a little more confidence in this process and the actual potency of the process of chanting of Hare Krishna, then maybe we'll put a little more energy into it, and then maybe we'll make a little more progress in this path. Because this is our research project. Everywhere, not everywhere, but all over the world, there are people researching things in various departments of knowledge. In fact, that's going on at an incredible pace. The world is being inundated by what is called the knowledge explosion, or the information explosion, or the data explosion, as everybody publishes the outcome of their research. And they're spending lots and lots and lots and lots of money on this research. building big machines, particle accelerators, lasers, all these things like this, searching out ultimate knowledge. All the universities are engaging so many people who, on the side, as an inconvenience, but part they have to do to fund their research is teach some students, but otherwise their real thing is research and publication. So according to this bold claim, we're also researchers, and that by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we can understand everything in both these material and spiritual worlds. So that is being explained here by Lord Shiva, Artalingaya Nabase Namomtar Bahiratmane. He's praying to the soul, Krishna, Antarbahir, who is inside and outside. He's the self who is both within and without. Also, Artalingaya Nabase, into the sky, who reveals the meaning of everything. Now, the purport is, as Prabhupada explains, the sky or ether is full of sound. So there is expanded, where the sky expands, also sound expands. So this sound is there, it's everywhere. There is a sound expanded, and it's a transcendental vibration. It is Omkar. The sound is there, sound Om, because that is the original sound of creation. It is stated that this is stated in the Vedanta Sutra, that just as by sound vibration everything is created, so similarly by sound vibration one returns to Godhead. So this is the importance of sound. Everything is created by sound. Just as in the Bible it is stated, in the beginning was the Word. So in the beginning, this is the fact, there is sound. So this sound is called Shabda. Shabda means sound, Brahma. Shabda Brahma, transcendental sound. And since this sound is at the origin of everything, this sound is all-pervading. Just as the super soul is also all-pervading. So, here is actual knowledge. Knowledge is to be found, Artalingaya Nabase Namontar Bahiratmane, in that sound which is all-pervading and in that self which is all-pervading. There is actual knowledge. Because there is a transcendental source to everything. So there is a perfect person and there is perfect knowledge. From imperfect people comes imperfect knowledge, and we're imperfect. That's stated so many times by Prabhupada, the four defects of a conditioned soul, that the defects of the conditioned soul are limited senses, tendency to make mistakes, the tendency to become illusion. What's the last one? See? Oh, cheating. I was going to say forgetting. That's imperfect senses. And the tendency to cheat. So this is going on all the time. It's basically the human method of knowledge is a cheating method. Actually, it's a fact. Empirical knowledge, or knowledge gathered by sense impressions, is when it's systematized and codified, is based on cheating. This has been noted by logicians, and it's called the problem of induction, inductive reasoning. People want to have knowledge, so they make statements, such as all crows are black. Now, no one has seen all crows. Nevertheless, one can say all crow is black. Why is that? Well, we've seen enough. Every crow that we have seen is black. Well, how do you know all crows are black? Well, actually, we don't, but we want to have universal laws. So we say all crows are black. So you can do that. You can make your research project. You can examine 5 million crows. You can come to all your premises, 1 through 5 million, all crows are black. You draw your line, you drop your conclusion out, all crows are black bird, but there's just no guarantee that crow 5,000,001 isn't going to be red. You don't know that. This is called the problem of induction, which means cheating. It was an attempt to be solved by saying, well, we make induction based on the principle of the uniformity of nature, that what we see here at this time in this place is going to hold good for all times and all places. But then, of course, everybody says, well, what about that principle? How do you establish that? So there it is. It's left there. This is the ultimate bluff of material knowledge, that if you actually make your claims to knowledge very rigorous and careful, you can't say you know anything because of your senses being limited and imperfect. So you can't see very much. What you do see, you get wrong. This is called making mistakes. Everybody knows about this. People make mistakes. You become bewildered. And then with all that, you still say, well, I know this, I know that, and this is called cheating. So this is, these are the difficulties. There's no knowledge available in this way. But because people are imperfect. But if there's a perfect person who is not subjected to these defects, then the perfect knowledge is available. So Krishna consciousness is based on the understanding Arthalingaya Navase Namondar Bahiratmane, that inside and without there is the Atmane, the one who sees everything. Prabhupada quotes from the 13th chapter, which states that there's the field, the body is the field, and then in this body there are two consciousnesses, two flashlights that know the field, that illuminate. Consciousness illuminates, it makes knowledge possible. Whenever there's consciousness, then there's experience, then there's knowledge, there's senses, then you can hear, you can perceive. So the first consciousness is ourselves, the limited soul. But the soul lights up the body with consciousness the same way the sun illuminates everything here. This is the statement of the Vedas, that the consciousness in our body is the effulgence of the soul. It is not a product of some other thing, but it comes. And then there's another consciousness also illuminating this body, that is radiating it, and that is super consciousness. Actually, we're sort of riding piggyback on that consciousness. So with this super consciousness, it actually illuminates everything inside and without, antar bahiratmane. So this is all-pervading consciousness. who's conscious of everything that happens, and this consciousness, the super consciousness, is not defective in any way. Doesn't cheat, doesn't make mistakes, senses, doesn't have imperfect senses. Our single consciousness and the super consciousness, they're very, very close together. They're very close together. And the same super consciousness, just as it pervades everything, that is the source of this sound that also pervades everything, the Shabda Brahman, this transcendental sound. So here is a realm of permanently existing absolute knowledge. If we don't know, then we grub around here in matter with our imperfect material senses trying to figure everything out. And we can't do it. But if we go in the other direction, of this vertical direction, and find out the way to come into contact with this super consciousness who's actually within our heart, and with Shabda Brahman, then our knowledge problem is solved completely. And this has also been the project at various times in various places of great seers and great thinkers. In the West, there was Plato and people like that. That's exactly what they were talking about. Plato had the notion of the world of eidos, of eternal forms of things. And by form, eidos, he meant they were like ideas. He meant the Vedas. And that there was a way that if the soul became pure, became free from matter, became free from material desires, then it could break through to this realm. So here there's two realms. There's the spiritual realm, the realm of the super soul, and Shabda Brahman, or transcendental knowledge. And here's the other realm, this realm of matter, which is actually produced by the super soul and also by Shabda Brahman. So when we turn into the realm of matter and try to start grubbing about with our senses for lording it over and to gain knowledge for lording it over, the other realm, the realm of pure knowledge, of transcendence, becomes obliterated. We no longer have the instruments, we no longer have the ability to perceive. We can't even see ourselves. There are books by academic thinkers which actually deny the existence of consciousness. It's a fact. You can get so engrossed in matter that already you think that consciousness is some epiphenomena, it's, you know, produced by matter and so on like that. You lose everything. But this other realm, the realm of pure knowledge, is actually, according to everything we've heard, is there. So first of all, of course, you have to hear. Shabda Brahman is there. If you want to know about this, then the one sense that's still working in our condition is sound, hearing. It begins with the ear. Just as when a person is unconscious and sleeping, you can go into the room and hold up a big sign that says fire and so on. So many senses are not working, but if you yell fire, that person will wake up. So that the hearing is still somehow or other able to operate even under those conditions. So similarly, even though we're materially contaminated, we can still hear sound. Sound can deliver us from this sleeping state of material consciousness. So we have to be woken up by transcendental sound. And that sound itself is also potent. It can purify us from our activities which make us impervious to spirit. Krishna is all around us. There's nothing but Krishna. Actual knowledge, pure knowledge, firm knowledge, sure and certain knowledge, indubitable knowledge is all around us. The knowledge which gives that we know what we're doing is what we ought to be doing. That knowledge which frees us from perplexity. Should I do this? Should I do that? Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. Should I go here? Should I go here? I want all this perplexity. If one has, is put to an end when one has infallible direction. So that infallible director is Super Soul. He's here. But we have to know how to come into contact with that all-pervading knowledge. So what they say, it's simple really, he says here, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we can understand everything in both the material and spiritual worlds. And Krishna has already described this in the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. I shall tell you, you shall know everything, phenomenal, numinous, knowing which there shall be nothing further to be known. There is matter, there is spirit, there is the controller of both. You can know everything. And know directly. This is the process of knowledge is a process of vijnana, of realization, so that it's realized knowledge, so that there's direct perception of the self and the super self. But this requires to be engaged in the process of knowledge. To be engaged in the actual process of knowledge means to become free from sense gratification. What we're hearing here is that sense gratification makes us stupid. It befuddles, it bewilders the living entity. We don't know what to do, we're stupid all the time, we're doing the wrong things, we're in ignorance because of sense gratification. Everyone has had the experience, maybe not everyone, but most of us have had the experience, there's certain drugs you can take that makes you stupid. Not just like the popular one, alcohol. Anyone who takes a certain number of alcohol becomes stupid and foolish. But anyone who engages in sense gratification in the same way becomes stupid and foolish. And just as you can be a sober person and you can watch a drunk make a fool of himself and behave like an idiot, so similarly to a person who is in Krishna conscious looking at the ordinary people of this world, sober people of this world engage in sense gratification, one can see it's the same way as looking at a drunk. They're bewildered, they're befuddled, they don't know what to do, they're wrecking their cars, they're misusing their lives, they're making the wrong decisions, they're making bad choices, they're destroying themselves, they're destroying other people. Because it's all working under the mode of ignorance. So that's because of sense gratification. It is like a drug. And this drug bewilders us. We cannot actually receive transcendental knowledge until we become free from sense gratification. The more we become free from sense gratification, the more Krishna reveals everything as the sun lights up the day. This is a very simple fact. So that's why he says here, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we can understand everything in both the material and spiritual worlds. So he says, here the Shabda Brahma is the Vedas. It represents the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The essence of that Shabda is the Hare Krishna mantra. These are not exaggerations when it says that chanting each bead on your japa bead is like studying one of the Upanishads. There are 108 Upanishads and there are 108 beads. That's a fact. That's a fact. These are not exaggerations. Nor is it an exaggeration to think that by simply chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, you can understand both everything material and spiritually. That's also not an exaggeration. That's actually the potency of this process. Every single person But we have to put effort into it also. We have to also have some motivation to actually attain the supreme goal of Krishna consciousness. But those who take this process seriously and engage in the process as directed by the spiritual master, there's no question of they're not achieving success. Otherwise, we're going to be bewildered. All the time we'll be bewildered and frustrated in our activities. Everything will be difficult for us. But as soon as we actually surrender to Krishna and take to the process that is given to us of trying to chant the Hare Krishna mantra without offenses, then and stay steadfast in that process, then comes a whole different world. Because then you don't forget Krishna. And Krishna doesn't forget you. Well, he doesn't in any case, but now you're aware of what's going on. So this is stated quite clearly by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. He says that to one who is constantly devoted and worshipping me with love, I give him the understanding, the Dhammi Buddhi Yoga. I give that person the Buddhi Yoga, the understanding, the intelligence by which that person can come to me. He says that I'm residing in that person's heart, and from within I give him knowledge. I turn on the light of knowledge which destroys the darkness of ignorance. So that's exactly the experience of Krishna consciousness. One actually begins chanting Hare Krishna, then the light goes on. Krishna illuminates. Otherwise, what can we know? We've got our material senses. There's this bewildering world. We're limited. We're obstructed. We're frustrated in every way. We're basically engaged in the product of trying to enjoy ourselves by the senses, which is a doomed project to start out with. But we turn to Krishna, then we know everything, material and spiritual. Actually, we don't know anything because we don't have the capacity. We're tiny little jivas. Our consciousness just illuminates this body. But also in this body, there's the consciousness that illuminates everything. If we connect with that consciousness, then whatever knowledge is there from Supersoul, we also have access to. And we receive perfect direction from the perfect person. So Vedic knowledge is not passive. It's not just like a book that just sits there. Vedic knowledge is active. It's none different from Krishna. That knowledge guides, directs, answers, helps you. So it's a question of breaking through. We are like little computers, like the ones we have around this temple, little local computers with limited computing power. But somewhere there are big, big computers with huge computing power. And if we know how, through the modem, we can hook up our little computers to that big computer, and therefore from our little terminals, we can actually use the big computer, and that your little local computer with its tiny computing power can actually have all the power of the big computer, if you know how to link up the mainframe. So Krishna is the mainframe with the little terminals. So if you actually want to have all that power, the computing power, all that understanding and knowledge, then you have to go to Krishna. So the materialists are baffled because they don't know that this realm is there. They don't know that the realm of the Vedas is there. They don't know that the all-pervading intelligence is there. That whole thing is just blocked out from their view. because they're busy grubbing for sense gratification in matter they can't see. They don't have any knowledge. And they won't get any knowledge until they turn away from that project. They've all become befuddled people. And the result of all their knowledge is just more and more horrible activities. So that just shows the result of actual knowledge is amushmai buddhi varchase. One goes to that which is beyond death. Punya lokaya, pious activities. When there's actual knowledge and there's heaps of pious activities and one is promoted to deathlessness, that's the result of actual knowledge. So when you see the result of material knowledge is it increases death. People are contriving more and more clever ways for other people to die. That's the result of their knowledge, to create hell on earth. It has to be, because it's actually not knowledge, it's nescience, it's ignorance. So I'll stop there and entertain questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu.
This analogy of how you can't wait for the first one except for the year, not exactly accurate.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you can shake them too, right?
Sense of touch, turn a light on, you'll wake up, probably some smell better. So I just see in mind, it seems like people hearing also doesn't seem to be enough. Sometimes people want to see, they want to experience.
Mm-hmm. That we also offer them. Begin with the tongue, too. Tasting the Krishna prasadam. Yeah, it's not exactly an accurate analogy, but usually it's we do usually wake up people by sound. I know the light doesn't work for some people. Even shaking them, screaming is the best. Where we have alarm clocks, but ultimately to accept by sound vibration, that's how Prabhupada says here. The people forget the importance of sound and how much knowledge comes from sound. Just as most everybody in the United States knows that, say, Afghanistan is there. They know some things about Afghanistan. But you ask them, how do you know? And they know by sound. In other words, they receive knowledge through authority. Almost all knowledge that we have is coming through authority. What we actually know by direct experience, independence of sound from authority, is very, very little. It's minuscule. But people are deceiving themselves that, oh yeah, I only trust my senses, I don't believe in any authority. If they actually followed that through, they would be able to claim very little knowledge as theirs. So because we accept the authority of the Vedas, people say, oh well, I don't accept authority. So you'll find people believe that there was a big bang and something happened and the universe came out of nothing and somehow by chance everything built up. But they accept it simply on authority. They accept that simply on authority. Ultimately it's because, well, so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so is an authority. Why do you accept this person as an authority? Well, he went to Stanford and he has a PhD and other authorities accept him as an authority. Then you find there's a group of people. The American Association for the Advancement of Science. And you accept that group as the authority. Why do you accept that group? Well, they are the authority. That's all. That's knowledge. That's the group that has knowledge. The American Academy for the Advancement of Science. That's right, AAS, the AAAS. That's the authority. Why do you believe them? Well, look what they can do. Cruise missiles and lasers and things like that. Ultimately, of course, what it comes down to is what they can do for me. Betamaxes and there's new records. What are they called? I forgot. Digital recordings and fuel injection, automobile. That's why I accept them as authorities. But that's the basic process. They accept these people. Well, just because they can make a digital disc or blow up an atomic bomb, does that mean they actually understand the origin of the universe? No, but they know, so much better than everybody. So intelligent, they're so smart. I can't understand what they're talking about. The only people, they can just understand each other. So that's the system, that's all. That's just the established system. But Krishna consciousness system is no different. Ultimately, we have people we consider authorities, the spiritual master. Well, I don't understand him, but other authorities, they accept him also. It's the same system. It's really the same system. And if people actually get knowledge and can understand that what they're getting from the authorities they currently accept is not good, it's bad, because the authorities that they currently accept, they have given them PBCs or whatever they are, and dioxin and all these things. We're reaching a point where it's causing more distress than it is happiness. And it won't take much to make people begin to understand this. That the facility for sense gratification is not all that great. If they can accept what the actual Vedic authorities can give them, the highest goal, the spiritual life, freedom from all suffering in the material world, then they'll appreciate. So the system of authority, learning, hearing from authorities, that system is there. That system is. That is the standard system. It's just a question of which authorities do you accept and why. So it's not that we have some different process from the materialists. It's the same process. Yes. What was Srila Prabhupada's plan for defeating the tide of ignorance? Well, book distribution. The spreading of transcendental sound. Prabhupada said everywhere, Krishna is all pervading, so these books must be distributed everywhere. Yes?
But many would argue and say, well, we have these senses, therefore they should be used, and we're using them to develop knowledge and these types of things. And you deny the senses.
But we don't. That's what's wrong. We don't deny the senses at all. Maybe the Mayavadis deny the senses, but that's also imperfect. We don't deny the senses. We say, here's the correct use of the senses. To be engaged in the service of Krishna. When you come to a Hare Krishna temple, you don't see anybody denying any senses. The objection is otherwise. There's too much sound. There's too much to see. The visuals are heavy. The nasals are heavy. I don't know what you call them. The smells. What you eat. What you hear. So that's our philosophy, is purifying. The sense gratification is a misuse of the senses. The living entities is given the senses to serve Krishna. They're misused for sense gratification. That's the fact.
How would you explain to a person, a materialist, how by engaging in sense gratification, he does become stupid, even though certain things don't obviously make you stupid, like you go to college and
because he doesn't get what he actually wants. because he doesn't get what he actually wants, because what he actually wants is freedom from birth, death, old age, and disease. I think you can prove that to anybody, that that's what they're actually looking for, is for some kind of happiness and pleasure that goes on without any interruption or disturbance, and that goes on without any end. But they're not going to achieve that. Of course, they don't say that, but actually, if you ask them, well, how long do you want to what you've got to go on, you say, well, how long can I have? And all their effort at protecting themselves, at staying alive, at defending themselves, at maintaining security, of getting life insurance, of getting a watchdog, of making sure the defense budget is big, is to keep themselves from dying. That's what they're trying to do. So the stupidity is they think that they won't die. So that's already been described already, that they're putting their trust in fallible soldiers. That's stupid. That's one way. Any other comment or question? Yes?